Thanks for listening to our New Chapel podcast. We're for people to connect with God and be raised to new life in Christ. Be sure to connect with us at newchapel.com and on social media to stay up to date on everything happening here at New Chapel.
Well, good morning, gang. Everybody excited about today? Oh, it's quiet in this Presbyterian church. I said, are y'all excited about today? There we go. Well, I'm excited too, and man, it's been a wild ride for me, I'll be honest. I didn't intend on taking this many Sundays off. We had Pastor Tommy last week. Wasn't that awesome? Oh man, that guy, he says that I, Pastor Joe, I'm here to comfort the afflicted. And he said, I'm here to afflict the comforted. I was like, my gosh, you know, I don't think that's in the Bible, but you know, whatever, that's cool. And then the week before we had Pastor Brian. Don't you love how we have homegrown men of God that are bringing the word? Give it up for Pastor Brian. What an awesome message. Now, I'll tell you, the reason why last week I wasn't here, I intended on being here, is that Kaya was overdue. And we finally got to that spot where we were like 8-9 days overdue, and Pastor Tommy was preaching at some place in Kentucky. He said, well, I'll come up. I said, easy button, boom. And so he came up to preach. And guys, Pastor, I do premarital counseling. I'll do baptisms today. I'll do child dedications. I'll also deliver your children, but there's a handling fee if we do that. Some of y'all are like scratching your head. I delivered our baby before the midwife was able to show up. Anyway, so Kaya gave birth to a healthy baby girl, the first girl Bevilacqua in our family. And she's beautiful, Vera Astaire Bevilacqua. I should have brought a picture, but I didn't. Just teasing you. See you next week. How you doing? And preacher tricks. So we're excited about that. Be praying for the Bevs. Man, it's how did that happen so quickly? That escalated very quickly, I will tell you. Four children, and they're all four and under. Wow. So that's awesome, but I'll tell you about today. When we talk about Team Church, isn't it awesome that I'm able to be like, hey, I've got life going on. Team Church, could you come and talk to the people? And one great friend of this ministry for now a while has been Pastor Robbie Emery. Now, Pastor Robbie pastors One Oak Church in Royal Oak, Michigan, and boy, they need Jesus in Royal Oak, everybody. I don't know if you've been to that side of the state, but it's demonic. And so they don't have the sunsets we have. And no, but it's a really cool area, and Pastor Robbie's that man for that city. What an awesome opportunity he has. And he's been here so often before as this guy who stood in the gap at the University of Michigan football team as the special advisor. Now, that's professional terms. He's the chaplain for the University of Michigan football team. Wonderful man of God. Over 20 years of marriage. Has awesome children. Guys, this guy is tops. Would you please, New Chapel, stand to your feet. Put your hands together for Pastor Robbie Emery. Pastor Robbie, come up here. Take your liberty.
Come on, let's give our hands, make a hand clap for Jesus. Get loud for Jesus. Come on. Amen. How many come to have church today? I don't know what you thought this was today. I don't know if you thought you were coming to, but you're here. This is church, and I like to get loud in church. Now, I'll tell you this. As a pastor, we're still online with our church, so it's been a minute since I've seen a person other than my family member. So it's good to be in a room with other people. And so I just need some feedback today. I need loud amens. I need preach, white boy. I need all the good, whatever you want to say, just don't run on a stage. We'll be good, all right? All right, you can be seated. Thanks for standing. Come on, how many love Pastor Joe? Man. Pastor Joe, you're an incredible man of God. Thank you. I'll tell you this. I was able to be in first service, preach first service, and we had some time in between services, and I just got to sit down and talk to Pastor Joe for a little while, and what I realize now more than ever that community is so important, and conversations are so important, and I believe that our culture, a lot of C words, I believe that our culture would be a lot better if we had more conversations. I think sometimes even during this pandemic that a lot of the conversations have been quieted. A lot of things are, now there's just more assumptions and more opinions than are actual conversations. I have a couple of months ago, or actually it's been 2 years now, but it was a couple of months ago, I was talking to my brother-in-law. And my church bought me these pair of shoes for my birthday, and it's a brand pair of Jordan 1s. I don't know if there are any sneakerheads in the room. The Jordan 1s are hard to come by. So these Jordan 1s, but they're the Black History Month Jordan ones. They got them for me in February, Black History Month Jordan ones. And I asked one of my friends at church, I said, can I wear these? I mean, he says, yeah, you can wear those. There's not a problem. And I said, I want to be a part of the solution. He said, yeah, wear them. Those are great shoes. You can wear them. And so I went to go wear them for the first time, and I realized on the back of the shoes it said equality. And so I called my brother-in-law, who lives in Houston. I said, I before I put these shoes on, I do not want to be offensive. Can I wear these shoes? He says, 100% wear those shoes. He says, wear them at the University of Michigan, wear them wherever you go. He says this, it will help start a conversation, and if we have more conversations, we'll have clarity, and it'll help bring our world together that is so far apart. And I realized something in between service when Pastor Joe and I were talking is that there was so much community that had been missing and so much wisdom that we all need, and it was just a conversation. So thank you, Pastor Joe, for helping me a little bit this afternoon and speaking to my life. I was texting my wife in church and just letting her know what was going on. I love Pastor Joe. I love this church. I love what God's doing. And if I ever decide to have more kids, I'll give you a call, man. I have three kids, not because I'm a good-looking man, but because I'm a smart one. Anyways, that's a good one. I'll give you a little help. My wife was on she had a connect group the other day. They're at a restaurant, and it was just a bunch of ladies with her at a connect group. I had flowers delivered to the connect group there. Come on. Yep. I know. That's right. I was waiting for Pastor Joe to speak up. As people serving the local church, there are a few things I think we should look for. Number one is opportunities to honor. I think we always should look for opportunities. How can we look for opportunities of honor? How can we see areas of honor? We should look for them. The Bible even tells us husbands and wives should try to outdo each other with honor. We should try to outdo. The Bible doesn't talk about competition generally. But when it comes to honor, we should try to be the one honoring the most, doing the most. Can you imagine a world that we live in if everyone honored everyone? It'd be amazing. So when we leave here today, let's try to outdo each other in honor. Let's try to outdo each other in different areas of honoring. Number two is occasions to help. We have to look for occasions to help. Opportunities to honor, occasions to help, and then we have to offer an opportunity to heal. We have to offer to heal. You ever know what your responsibility is as the church, not the building, as a people? Is I've got to honor. I've got to find ways to help, and I've got to help people heal. That is a responsibility. When you read the Word of God, you look at Jesus. Jesus wasn't showing people how to be a Savior. He was actually showing people how to be human. He's the perfect example of how to be a human being. And so Jesus, read the stories, he honored everyone. No matter where they came from, no matter their background, no matter their story, he honored all. You read the story of Jesus, he found ways to help people. People who needed help, and then he gave them an opportunity to be healed. And I think for all of us, that is what we're called to do. When you leave here today, find ways to do those things. And I'm preaching before I'm preaching today. I think there's a misunderstanding that perfect people are those who don't ever think about quitting. Perfect people are those who don't ever think about quitting. But Jesus thought about quitting. Jesus thought about giving up. I'll prove it to you in John 12:23. Jesus replied, "Now the time has come for the Son of Man to enter into his glory." He goes on to say, "Now my soul is deeply troubled." Say, troubled. "Should I pray, Father, save me from this hour? But this is the reason I came." Jesus wanted to quit. Jesus wanted to give up, but he understood that his calling was greater than his present situation. He understood that where he was going, the Bible said he endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. It wasn't the cross. It was the joy of salvation for humanity. He had to go through the cross so that we can meet on this Sunday in worship. He endured it. How many parents we have in the room? Wave at me. If you're a parent, wave at me. Parents, wave at me. We have a responsibility as parents, right? We have a responsibility to read to our children. Do you read to your children? You have that responsibility. And if you have an 18-year-old, you may not read to that 18-year-old, but as children are small, you read to them. I have a confession to make. I have a confession. When I read to my children, when I read to my children, I would skip pages. How many parents skip pages? It would go from good night room to good night moon in one page. It was like, there was no middle. There's too many good nights. It would skip pages. Don't judge me. I know you're judging me. It's okay. Now, my wife, Danielle, she's a great storyteller, but she kind of exaggerates a whole lot. She does. She called me the other day, and there was a house that was the smoke was coming from, and she said, there's 100 fire trucks outside our house. I said, there's no way there's 100 fire trucks. There's not enough room, and every fire truck would be like, why are there so many fire trucks here? She says, I'm so tired, babe, I'm going to go take a 1,000-hour nap. That's not a nap. That's a coma. What are you doing? But that's her thing. She begins to exaggerate some stories, and I think we do too. It's my prayer that this message will speak to you today, and if you find yourself in a place where you're actually asking some spiritual questions or maybe struggling and considering giving up. In fact, what's interesting, when you think about it, so often in life, that the greatest blessings that we have are on the other side of not giving up. How many of you would you agree in your life right now, some of you, the greatest blessings that you have, right now, if you think about it, because you didn't give up. Maybe it's the person sitting next to you. Maybe you're still married because you didn't give up. It's very emotional for me to think about this, but Danielle and I, as Pastor Joe alluded, we will celebrate over 20 years of marriage. This year we'll celebrate 21 years of being married. Yeah. We're just getting started falling in love. I'm telling you, it's getting gooder and gooder. Some of your relationships are like milk. Ours is like fine wine. It just gets better over the time. You got it now. It took you a minute. We've got some real momentum in our marriage. But 21 years in, and what's interesting, I almost didn't follow through with pursuing her. I almost walked away. Danielle was all into me. And you can see obviously why she was all into me. I get it. But I wasn't that all into her. I almost walked away from the person that made me the best person. The problem wasn't Danielle. The problem was me. I was so into me that I didn't have time for anyone else. We decided to spend time together, and I realized that I really liked this girl. I never got more ready for a meeting than I did that day. I mean, I put 2 kinds of hair product in. Extra cologne. I found the skinniest jeans ever, and 20 years ago, skinny jeans were really skinny. And because I was so into me, I almost walked away from the second greatest decision in my life. When you think about it, 3 kids I wouldn't have today. I want to say to somebody, and I don't know who this is for, but on the other side of the trial that you're considering walking away from, maybe the greatest blessing of your whole life. On the other side of the temptation to walk away are some of the greatest blessings. Are you going to let the devil talk you out of something that God called and created you to do? This message is dedicated to someone who feels like giving up and walking away. Our battle as Jesus followers is not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities of this dark world. And the reality is that there is an enemy that hates God. And there's this prince of darkness that hates the kingdom of light. And all the forces of hell will try to stop the purposes and power of God from moving forward in your life. Last week, this is not last month, last year, last week, in a matter of 48 hours, both my cars were hit. 48 hours. And I wasn't driving either one of them. I'm the good driver. I was in one car. My brother was driving my car and got hit. He's like, man, I'm so sorry. No big deal. We'll work it out. My wife was driving her car. It got hit. Calls me emotional. I said, are you okay? She said, I'm okay. And I go check out I inspect both vehicles, and really it's just scratches. Really it's just minor issues with it. And I told my wife this. I said these words. How are you so calm? I'm like, I'm okay. We'll get it fixed. It's no problem. I said this. If the enemy, his only strength and ability is to scratch my car, he's not very strong. And I think a lot of us are giving up on our callings and our destiny over scratches. And if he can only scratch my car, then I got this. It's not that strong. And that's, God wants to move forward in your life, and sometimes we fail to see that. The very reason so often we feel like giving up the most, it's because we have an enemy who's trying to talk you out of what God has called you toward. You have to remember in life so often that the most meaningful times in life are on the other side of the greatest trials. And I want to preach to you today about a man who didn't give up, which would be seen as one of the greatest trials and tragedies. At the end of the service, I hope you will connect with what God is going to speak to your heart today. My daughter, Bree, she's 14 now, and she has a prayer journal. And I was telling someone in first service, one of the reasons that the prayer journal is so significant, because when she was smaller, like 5, 6, 7, she was dealing with these emotional insecurities. And so with therapy, we were talking to her, and she would begin to write these things down, the feelings that she would have. She'd put them in the journal and write them down. And I love how God took this emotional journal and turned it into a prayer journal. God took that little girl's things that she was facing, and it translated into something amazing. She was facing all these different things, and she couldn't get it out of her head, and she didn't know how to express it. And so she was instructed just to begin to write things down, and she would scribble this book. And I could show it to you, and you'd be like, wow, she was facing a lot of things and seeing a lot of stuff. And then you look now, and it's prayer needs. And she said to me, Dad, I took my prayer journal to youth the other day, and youth got, we write our prayers down, and 2 weeks later, they only have youth every two weeks later, I come back, and she said, Dad, every time I put a prayer in my journal and we pray about it, it is answered. Now, if my 13-year-old, now 14-year-old little girl can do that, how much more should you and I? How much more faith is in this room? Let me tell you, we need to begin to write some things down. We need to begin to have more conversations with God. We need to begin to listen to his voice more, because his voice is going to speak to you and affirm you and help you get down the road. I'm going to give you a little bit of a prequel of what's going down so that you can understand the journey that God wants to take all of us on today, regardless of where we land spiritually. God is very interested in taking us from some of the hard things that happens in our lives to being supplied by God. And I think that's a beautiful journey. And so in the book of Acts, which is found in the Bible's New Testament, a guy by the name of Luke wrote the book to talk about the outgrowth of the first church. And in his historical account, we learn a lot of different things that can help us in our modern day lives. And what I find interesting in this story is that Paul, who was an apostle and started churches and helped build people up, he became public enemy number one for preaching the gospel. He really wanted to go to Rome as a preacher, but he ends up going to Rome as a prisoner. And what we read in the text about this journey of about 200 or so men, they're going to face charges for their crimes. And here's what we read. And Paul and Luke are together, and during this time, Paul stands up and he says some words to everybody that come across a little bit strange. Here's what he says. Acts 27, verse 22 through 24. But take courage. None of you will lose your lives, even though the ship will go down. For last night, an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me. And I'll be like, what did he just say? This nice, comfortable boat that we're on is going to go down. He said, yeah, but he said we're going to live. Yeah, but I don't swim too well. And I would have a lot of, you ever been in that room? You have a lot of questions like, well, no, I'm just not receiving that. I need to hear a little bit more. Give me some context. And he said, don't be afraid. Paul, for you, this is the angel speaking to Paul, and Paul's reiterating to the people, Paul, for you will surely stand trial before Caesar. All right, well, it looks like I'm going to survive, but I still got to go face trial. What's more, God in his goodness has granted safety to everyone sailing with you. All right, we're good. Everyone's good. You can't swim. Apparently, you're going to make it to the end. So take courage. For I believe God, it will be just as he said. But we will be shipwrecked on the island. And I don't want to preach to you today. I've got a passionate message today. And I hope you've come with your amens and your preach. I hope you come ready to receive something from God. You come that? I want you to stand with me. We're going to pray together, and then I'm going to preach my face off for the next 20 minutes. You ready? Bow your heads, pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this great church. God, I thank you for what New Chapel is, God, to this community, to this area. I thank you for our pastors leading so strong. God, in the middle of a pandemic, God, in the middle of tough times, God, there's some strong leaders carving out ways for people to find you. And I say thank you. Thank you for a church, God. Thank you for passionate people. I pray for our time together. We one that honors you. I pray, Lord, that you would anoint my heart, God, and my mouth today to preach what you've put on the inside of me. God, let it find good ground today. And I pray that when we leave this place, we say truly the presence of the Lord was here. In Jesus' name. And all God's people say, amen. Amen. You can be seated. Have you ever got some really bad news? Like really bad news? Really bad news. My daughter was telling me a story of a boy that she encountered that he got some bad news that day. So a few months ago, the youth went to a youth meeting, and there in this meeting, it was other churches and other youth, and it was kind of fun. It was worship, it was preaching, and it was hangout time, and my daughters were there with their youth leaders, and when they left the meeting, some boy comes walking up to my 13-year-old daughter. Another 13-year-old boy comes chasing after her. He just better be glad I wasn't there. You got a little girl now. You just wait. And so my daughter begins to tell me this story. She runs in the house, jumps on the couch, and says, "Dad, guess what?" And she's kind of excited telling me this story because she knows how I feel. And she says, "Dad, I was leaving church, and this boy comes up to me and says, 'Hey, you got a snap,' which is Snapchat. He's wanting to follow her on Snapchat, but she doesn't. And she just says, 'Nah,' turns her head and walks away." She's telling me the story. I gave her a high five and a $100 bill because when you do what the father says, the father delights in that and then pays you $100. That boy got some bad news that day. I don't know if that was his first rejection, but he knows what's up now. Not the most encouraging words that Paul speaks to the people on this ship that day. I don't think that's the kind of news that you want to hear. But eventually we do learn that it went exactly the way Paul said. Eventually, they all make it to the island, but it was the debris of the broke-down ship that got them to their destination. It was the debris that they ended up getting to the destination on. You got to get this. I think there's a big lesson in this, that God seems to delight in breaking up the things that we feel most secure in. This boat is really comfortable and it will take me to our destination. And God says, "Well, the boat's going to break up and it's going to be the debris, what's left over, that's going to get you to where you need to go." I feel like God likes to break things up sometimes for us to realize it's the debris that'll get us to our destination. I want to let you know that sometimes some things have to fall apart in our lives for us to understand that God can make those things the best floating devices in our entire lives. I know that there's some people that may have just barely floated into church today, but God sometimes needs you to get here in a way you never expected. Sometimes it's the debris that gets you to your destination. In Acts 28, the story continues in verse number 1. And once we were safe on shore, we learned that we were on the island of Malta. And the people of the island were very kind to us. It was cold and rainy, so they built a fire on the shore to welcome us. As Paul gathered an armful of sticks and was laying them on a fire, a poisonous snake, driven out by the heat, bit him on the hand. The people of the island saw it hanging from his hand and said to each other, "Oh, a murderer, no doubt. Though he escaped the sea, justice will not permit him to live." But Paul shook off the snake. Say, shake it off. Paul shook off the snake into the fire and was unharmed. The people waited for him to swell up or suddenly die, drop dead. But when they had waited a long time and saw that he wasn't harmed, they changed their minds and decided he was a god. Near the shore where we landed was an estate belonging to Publius, the chief official of the island. He welcomed us and treated us kindly for 3 days. As it happened, Publius' father was ill with fever and dysentery. Paul went in and prayed for him, and laying his hands on him, he healed him. Then all the other sick people on the island came and were healed. As a result, we were showered with honors, and when the time came to sail, people supplied us with everything we would need for the trip. Now I have to announce something, ladies and gentlemen. I hate snakes. No, I legitimately hate snakes, all shapes, forms, and sizes. I do everything I can to avoid a snake. I don't want to come in contact with a snake. There's snakes over. No, I'm not going over there. No, you have a pet snake, I'm not coming to your house. I don't care. My wife is not afraid of anything. Nothing. Not afraid of anything. In Texas, we see a snake. When we used to live there, I run away. She gets her phone out, takes a picture, begins to shoot video. I'm like, what are you doing, babe? She says, I want to know what kind of snake it is. I'm like, I don't care what kind of snake it is. I don't want to be bit by a poisonous or non-poisonous snake. Like, it doesn't matter to me. I don't want to know. If you have a snake tattoo, I might punch you in the mouth later. But if you're man enough or woman enough to have a snake tattoo, you might punch me in the mouth. So we're good. That's funny. But there's a reason why the English language has made the word snake so bad. If you call somebody a snake in the grass, it's not necessarily a compliment. We just look at the ill-fated voyage of the group of people, Paul, Luke, and their crewmates. They crashed, but ended up on, by the miraculous provision of God, on the island of Malta. Now, Luke is a doctor. Notice he's a doctor. So he writes with meticulous detail and tells us that once they were safe on shore, they learned that they were on the island of Malta, and the people of the island, they were kind to them. And he points out it was cold and it was rainy. And so this being cold and a rainy day, they built a fire on the shore to welcome them. Now, there's a fire there, but Paul realizes that this fire is dwindling. It's going out. And so Paul goes and gathers an armful of sticks and was laying them on the fire. A poisonous snake jumped out in that moment. Even when I read that text, it's kind of like, man, a standing plank. It just a snake jumping out and biting him. But driven up by the heat, bit him on the hand. Now, before we even get into the fact that he got bit by a snake, there's something that you need to know. A nuance in the text that Luke is trying to get us to see. Paul has just been shipwrecked, but he's gathering sticks to help make the fire continue. Now, some commentators would say that this wasn't a job for this type of person. Paul wouldn't have been doing this. A guy would never, ever gather wood on an indigenous island. It was the work for the natives, the people there, and particularly women and children on the island were the ones to do the work. But for some reason, Paul did it. Paul, even though he was shipwrecked, he's still trying to serve others. I want to let some people know in this house to know that if you're here today and you've gone through some stuff in your life that has shipwrecked you or messed you up, there's still a responsibility for you to serve others. I know you went through something. I'm going to preach. I know you went through a divorce. I know you went through a sickness. I know you lost your job. I know you got pain. But God is looking for somebody that will serve while you're suffering. I know you've been beaten. I know you've got a lot of weight on you. I know you've got some hurt going on. I know some things you're facing, but God is looking for people who will serve in the middle of suffering, because when I read the Word of God, I see my Savior beaten. I see my Savior bleeding. I see Him carrying a heavy load, but He still so chose to serve in the middle of His suffering. I know it's hard. I wish I had some people that had been wounded but are still going to serve. I wish I had some people that have been through some pain but are not going to quit helping others. Sometimes you got to suffer and still serve others. Have you ever noticed when things are warming up in our lives that out of nowhere, we get momentum, something latches onto us, things are going good? Yeah, as a pastor, man, church is going good, a lot of good momentum, we're growing, people are being saved. We're cooking with grease, you know. Everything's great. Then all of a sudden something latches onto you. Not only the person's gone through pain in their life. You just when you thought things were going good and all of a sudden that stubborn habit comes back. And you had quit the habit before the pandemic, but it seemed like in the pandemic it was the only thing that would comfort the habit or comfort the present concern. Some comments come that open up some wounds, making you feel insecure. You ever feel a relapse come on? Just when you thought you beat your addiction, got a diagnosis come across the desk just when you got a clean bill of health. I just fought this. I just won this battle. Now I've got to do this. And all of a sudden, something latched onto you. It seems here in the text that the people on the island saw it hanging from his hand. And they said to each other, oh, a murderer, no doubt, though. He escaped the sea, but justice will not permit him to live. See, these people on the island, they knew they're snakes, and they knew that he should have fallen over and died. They're waiting and they're watching. They're like, oh, you didn't die during this shipwreck? Oh, but karma is a boa constrictor. Waiting for him to die, but Paul, he goes all Taylor Swift, and he shook the snake off into the fire and was unharmed. I want to let some people know in this room today, I know there's some people that watched you mess up and you went through some stuff and they've been waiting for you to die, but you're not going to stop worshiping. Look at you this morning. They've been waiting for you to quit. They've been waiting for you to stop. They thought that divorce was going to keep you. They thought those things were going to keep you. No, I'm going to shake it off and I'm going to keep moving forward in my relationship with God. I'm not leaving the church. I'm not leaving my God. I'm shaking off criticism. I'm shaking off pain. I'm shaking off doubts. I'm shaking everything off. You're not going to stop me. I'm just going to shake it off. Oh, I wish I had some people who would just shake it off. Allow yourself to be free again. The people waiting for him to swell up or suddenly drop dead, they waited a long time, the Bible says. People are going to have to wait a long time before I get off the serve team. People have to wait a long time before they see me turn away from my God. When they saw that he wasn't harmed, they changed their minds and decided that he was a God. You see, our reaction has so much to do with the way the world responds. Remember, he was in a boat with criminals, and now he's on the island, and they're expecting him to die. Let me just say this something to everyone. The world doesn't read Bibles, it reads Christians. Your reaction may be the greatest epistle that they ever read. That's why after you go through pain, you should still have a praise. After you go through a problem, you should still have some worship because there's an on-looking world. Now notice the trajectory. God loves to take us from our shipwrecks. And sometimes life gives us snake bites. There's something we have to do. Near the shore where we landed, the Bible says, was an estate belonging to Publius, the chief official of the island. He welcomed us and treated us kindly for 3 days. As it happened, Publius' father was ill with fever and dysentery. But Paul went in and prayed for him. Notice the narrative. Paul went in and prayed for him. And laying his hands on him, he healed him. This is a book that the Holy Spirit is using Luke, who's a doctor, to write down these details. This is why Luke knows that it's dysentery. This is why that word is in there, because Luke understands what he's going through. The guy who went to med school, the guy who had the initials after his name, is not the healing agent in the story. You got to get that. Luke is the one telling the story, but Paul, it's the guy with the wounded hand that ends up healing Publius' father. God is trying to use people like you, like me, with wounds and pain and hurt and discouragement and disappointment to start healing the people around us. Don't allow what you don't have to keep you from using what you do have to help bring about the healing in our community. See, the quick answer is, hey, Luke, this is your job, man. And Paul says, stepped in with faith. It was the guy with the wounded hand helping bring about healing in that land. A lot of times we're saying, I'm too wounded to worship, or I'm too wounded to help someone else find healing. Bible says we're made overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. You can't have a testimony without a test, and the enemy would love to keep you quiet during this time and not share your stories, not share your hurt, not share your wounds. There's no perfect people allowed in this room. We all have scars. We all have broken things. We all have problems, and when we begin to expose those and share those, that's when true healing begins to happen. If you confess with your mouth, he's faithful to forgive you of your sins. But if you confess one to another, healing happens. Healing happens. I'm telling you, we need more hope and healing in our communities now than we ever have. And it's going to happen through the community of the church. Pastor, I've hurt in my life. Great, we need you on the prayer team. Pastor, I've got pain in my life. Great, we need you a part of the serve team. Ladies and gentlemen, in this place, it doesn't matter what you're doing right now or what you've been through. God wants to use you from your shipwreck and your snake bite to help people, to help heal people that are sick. I hope I'm talking to some people that have gone through some disappointments. maybe some hurts from coworkers, pain from spouses, parents, siblings, childhood memories of abuse, to realize that the poison that the enemy injected into your life is not intended to paralyze you. It's not there to paralyze you, but to promote you, because when the venom has been removed, it can be used as to develop an inoculation. God takes us from shipwrecks, from snake bites, to sick people for a reason. Man, imagine if Paul hadn't heard from God. Imagine if Paul fell to the wayside when he got bit by a snake. God, why would you have me do this? Why? And you just shake it off. Healing wouldn't happen in the home. Healing wouldn't happen in the community. Just on the other side of a willingness to not give up, sometimes the greatest miracles that God has in store for us. Here it is. This is it. This is the close. Then all the other people on the island came and were healed. They were showered with honors, the Bible says. And when the time came to sail, notice, people supplied us with everything that we needed for the trip. A few days earlier, they didn't know them. A few days earlier, they were just prisoners on the shore of their seaside. And now Paul brings answers and healing to the community, and people that didn't even know his God really thought he was a God. Begin to supply them with everything that they needed. There is people, I believe, that don't have a relationship with God, that don't even know your God, have the potential to supply the needs that you have in your life, but it'll never happen if we don't continue to serve. It'll never happen if we allow what we've been through to keep us to help someone else to get through their situation. But so many times it's us. We begin to compare. Man, if God, if I had this, then I'd do this. God, if this would open up, then I'd do this. God, if I had this opportunity, what if the thing you're wishing would go away is the opportunity God's presenting you with? In the first service, we had this kind lady come and talk to Pastor Joe and I, and it was her first time, first service. And she began to talk about her mom, who's extremely ill, and she's in hospice and hospice care, and she's living in this community of other people. And she has cancer. It's almost terminal. But even in her time of pain, her mom was saying that she's been witnessing to everybody in the community. And that there's this lady that was going on a trip, a lady that works there going on a trip, and the lady didn't have a Bible. So this lady who's going through cancer, who's facing every obstacle one could imagine late in her life, gives her her own personal Bible for the reason of, I've already marked it up. I've marked this thing up so much. You don't even have to really look. Just, it's there. See, what she did is she said, man, everything that I've faced, everything that I've been through, every sermon that I've heard, everything that I've done, it's all been put in here. You take this, you go on your journey, and I pray God helps you. She didn't allow her pain to keep her from presenting the promise of God to somebody. What do you have? Oh, I've been hurt. Maybe in this house, you would never get to the supplies of your life if you've never had the shipwreck. Maybe you'd never get the supplies that God intended for you without the snake bite. I want to let you know that God wants to supply your life with everything that you need. And sometimes you won't even come from people that know God. And people can be people that are watching God through you. What do? You go from shipwreck to snake bites to sick people to supplies. The one common thread is you serve others, and you serve others well. On September 25th, which this year is a Friday, will be the 4th anniversary of our church starting. We always celebrate the anniversary around that time. So on the 27th, we'll celebrate as a church that Sunday. But it was a few weeks into the starting of the church, and we get into the fall and winter months, and it was hard. We had to sell everything to really start the church and put ourselves out there and believing God would supply. I could take you to the exact spot. We sat on the floor of our kitchen, and both my wife and I were sobbing. Because the situation currently was that we had no food in our house. None. Had no money in the bank, and all of our children who were upstairs were sick. Flu had just gone through our house. We couldn't take them to the doctor. We just simply had to hope it would go through. My wife is crying. I'm crying. And we had to cancel a few church services around the holidays because we couldn't afford to rent the building. And so we'll just cancel those services. We let everyone know we're going to take 2 weeks of Sabbath. Merry Christmas. You know, they didn't know the real reason. We couldn't. Around that time, there was something that we were doing. We were doing serve projects in our community. We do it around Thanksgiving and the holidays. We do all those things. And she says, my wife says, do we need to cancel that too? And something hit my heart. I said, no, it's not going to cost us money to do what we're doing. We already have it. It's just serving people. And I said, right now, I really just need to serve somebody. I really just need to do something for somebody else. I'm in a dire straits right now with our family. And I just need to put something out there. I need to sow some really good seeds. And it wasn't immediate that the things began to pick up. It wasn't even in the beginning of the next year, but God began to provide and begin to do. And I always think back to that moment. If we'd stopped serving, would God have supplied the things we needed? If we stopped serving, would we still have the mental capacity to be able to push on? What was in the serving component that allowed me to say, hey, we can do this. We can go after Moby Dick in a rowboat with tartar sauce. We can do this. You know what I'm saying? Something has to happen within us that says, even though things look bad, I'm still going to serve. Jesus was having a conversation with this young man in the New Testament. In this conversation, Jesus is having this theological debate, if you will. This young man had been to seminary. And he's trying to explain salvation and being born again and all these parts. And the young man couldn't get it. And Jesus says, hey, do you remember Moses? When Moses and the children of Israel were coming out, and Moses put a snake at the end of a pole, and he said, if my people will look at the snake at the end of this pole, they will be saved. And Jesus says, so is as the Son of Man. Jesus referenced himself as a snake. So the story is that these snakes invaded where the children of Israel were. And the only way that the poison could get out, that they would be remedied while they were escaping Egypt, was that there was this pole that looked like a snake, and that the people looked at it, they were healed. Jesus compares himself to that situation because the only way healing can happen is if Jesus is elevated to a different level than our current situation. He says, if they can see me, then they will be changed. Here's what I believe. Our earthly grandparents, Adam and Eve, sin started with a look. I believe salvation starts with a look. Looking unto him, the author and finisher of our faith. We have to look to Jesus. And I've done my best over the past 25 minutes to get you to not see Robbie Emery standing on stage, but to get you to see Jesus. Because Jesus is ultimately the only one who can save you, who can change you, who can make you new. Right where you are, bow your heads and close your eyes all over this room. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. If you're here today and you've never given your life to Christ, or maybe it's been a long time, maybe this is the first time you've been in church since everything that's happened, and maybe you've faced some pains, maybe your life has been shipwrecked, maybe you've been snake bitten. Maybe that all these things are happening, and I want to encourage you today that I believe if you won't give up, if you won't stop, if you continue to serve and fill out your calling, that on the other side, your needs will be supplied. But first, you have to see Jesus. If you've never given your life to Christ, or maybe it's been a long time, when I count to three today, just throw your hand up in the air and you're saying, Pastor, I want to be included today. I want to give my life to Christ. If that's you today, when I count to three, raise your hand. One, two, three. Hands up, hands up, hands up, hands up. Drop them right back down. Thank you for the hands. Thank you for the hands. With every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around, I want you to pray this prayer with me. Repeat it after me and say it out loud. Say this: Heavenly Father, I realize today that I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. Today, I confess with my mouth and I believe in my heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and God raised him from the dead. Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Today, I give my life to Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Come on, stand to your feet and clap your hands today. Come on, let's make some noise for Jesus. Do you receive the word of God today? Pull that into your spirit. Sometimes it's the debris of life that'll get you to the destination. God bless you. Thank you for being at church today. Pastor Joe.
Y'all give it up for Pastor Robbie. Joe, I want you to bring two buckets up here. Satan has sifted you, fought against you. You fought private trials that you're not going to tell anybody about. What you don't know is schools aren't letting the churches back in. That's the fallout. One Oak needed a place. You quoted a scripture today, John chapter 12, verse 26. If any man serve me, let him follow me. You talk about Jesus coming to serve and not be served. But verse 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. There's a lot that had to die. God has seen your sacrifices. He has seen your faithfulness. Nothing is ignored and nothing is wasted. Robbie needs a building. I know what it's like to feel like your sheep are scattered. On his side of the state, they'll hang him for doing some of the stuff that we pulled in Western Michigan. You know what I'm talking about, anybody? He needs a building and he needs it quick. I think this church ought to take today, and just as you talked about using the debris and leveraging that whole season, I say that we put a seed into his building. We are the first church to do it. I'm looking for 2 minutes on the clock. There's no flowery anything. I'm going to pray. God speaks to your heart. I want you to come down here and put it in the buckets. If you'd like to give online, that's fine. You can do that as well. Make sure you put in the memo where it's going. I'm going to pray and give you an opportunity to do it. Here's what I believe. I believe that his honorarium's already been set. This has nothing to do with this. The Lord right now. And here's the deal. If you feel like, oh, this is icky, I don't want... Nobody's leaning on you. The people that are supposed to give, they know in their heart what they're supposed to do right now. I'm just letting them know that what God has been speaking to them is right, and I'm going to give them an outlet to do it. Any Christians know what I'm talking about? So I'm looking, 2 minutes. I'm going to pray. You come right down here. I'm going to be talking, but I'm going to give you an opportunity. Sow a seed. Now, here's what I'm going to tell you. You sow a seed in the same way that he sowed a seed quietly behind the scenes. God's going to reward you openly. And this seed that fell to the ground and died in a private place, you are going to be rewarded openly. God sees all that you sacrifice, but he's going to bring you up to a great and mighty place. You need a room and a microphone, and you are going to blow up. You are going to reach that whole region. You are going to be surprised by some of the people that were naysayers or doubted along the way. You're going to leapfrog all of them. You're going to be out in front. God has influence for you that in places that nobody's like Dad Bod's going to have. You got it. God's going to bless you. Indeed. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for Robbie Emery. I thank you for his family that have sacrificed behind the scenes. God, I thank you for the nights of prayer and devotion and trust, and that, God, he didn't quit on you. And, God, you have an opportunity to show him that you ain't going to quit on him. God didn't bring you this far to dump you, Robbie Emery. He's going to bring you to new heights, new levels. God, I thank you for that right building. I thank you for a whole phased out program. Lord, speak every bit of it to his heart on the commute home. Exactly what he's supposed to do. And take this small seed that we're sowing today and multiply it multiple times over in his life. Lord, I thank you for a blessing that takes that church to the next level. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. I just want every Christian praying for a second. If you're not used to anything like this, this is just God. Just worship, pray for just a second. I ain't got no band. Just take a second. Father, thank you, Lord. You say, it's awkward, Pastor Joe. Lean into that. That's okay for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for what you did here today in all of our hearts. We needed that. God, that some of the debris that we're facing right now, we're so frustrated at, but God, that debris is going to carry us through. It's a great flotation to the next side. Lord, I thank you for taking the broken and fragmented pieces of our lives and putting it back together in such a way where it's stronger, like a weld seam is stronger than the two. So you put us back together. Lord, I thank you for the word that Pastor Robbie gave us, let it marinate in our hearts and produce fruit in our families and in our church. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine on you, be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace that passes all understanding. And as you go, I'll see you guys at baptisms 1:30 at Grand Haven Beach.
We hope that you were encouraged and brought closer to God during this message. You can listen to any of our past messages and series either on this podcast or on newchapel.com/watch. And be sure to connect with us on Facebook or Instagram to stay up to date on everything happening here at New Chapel.